One, two, Babaloo.
That's the music of Bobby Lewis, who will be in here from 10 to 11. But right now it's my pleasure to have three people I just met in here. Mike, Michael, what do you like to be called?
Michael?
Please. Michael, because you're
they named the baby
playwright.
Michael,
yeah, you're a
says.
Playwright. Because you're a playwright. And actors Kyle Downs and Ann Arza, they are two of the stars of Mike's new show called Pushcart Tony, opening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Vidim Theater, which is at 1012 North Noble. Pushcart Tony, if you people don't know, and he has kind of, I think, Michael, and I think this is why this is such a cool idea for a musical, it's kind of faded into Chicago's history. Pushcart Tony was Tony Cermak, who was arguably responsible for what is the fallen apart under Rahm Emanuel Democratic machine, but was certainly a steady and powerful political operation, perhaps one of the most powerful in the country. What got you interested in this, Michael? Because we've been kind of communicating for some time.
You know, I don't know what the impetus for the origin of the story was, but I think that I came across the fact that he was the first, and I believe only immigrant to become mayor of Chicago of any major American city, because I've done a lot of research on it.
Yeah, I know you have.
And if you just take his life story per se, you've got a drama that could go for 3 hours. And then you look at the life lens of his years, it goes through the most exciting parts of Chicago. He came the precursor to Ellis Island in 1874. He was hauling refuse with his laborers through the Columbian Exposition, turn of the century.
The backdrop. Couldn't invent.
It's got to be a musical.
You couldn't invent the backdrop.
Right.
How long have you been working on it?
The seed was, the spring of 2012.
Okay.
What was interesting about it is the script, the research. You can imagine the research. And there's not a lot of reference points to Tony Cermak.
I know.
And it's only one book. It's Alex Gottlieb's Boss Cermak Study in Political Leadership.
Which kind of stuns me, but that's another matter.
And then we have little tomes like Martyr Mayor, which is just a pro-Cermak thing. But, you know, your father had Lords of the Levee, Big Bill of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I just got finished reading Yesterday Chicago with you and your father. All
that's
those
not
stories.
Much of a book. That's like a bunch of long captions.
But then you start to see how Cermak really was Chicago, because all those sidewalks and all those different people and all those immigrants. I tell the people that are in this play, because we're doing it through community theater in Palatine, that there's no grandfathers from Palatine. We're all Chicagoans.
Yeah, right.
These are people that came from Chicago.
Where'd you grow up?
I was born in New York State, and I grew up until I was about 14 on the Delaware Valley East Coast, and I came here in the Northwest Suburbs, Hoffman Estates High School, and then, you know, finished school and came back and moved to the city, you know, and it was one of those things where you live in the city for a long time, and then maybe you move around, you go to the West Coast for a little while, and you start to realize when you come back home wonderful this city is, and the stories. And, you know, I had a play produced in 2012, and you realize.
Which one? What was that?
It was a play, a place called The Artistic Home. It was called Waiting for Dr. Storlatsy. It was a series of
sounds
plays.
Like a horror movie. Yeah.
No, it was just a thing. You know, John Green was the playwright afterward. It was a lot of fun. But then you start to realize, I led a band and I was a songwriter, that musical theater is where it's at. So where's the story? And then you start to, you know how it is, the creative mind, where's the idea come? And I came across Cermak. And it was so compelling.
I think I will not question that, because I certainly know a bit about Chicago history. And Cermak not only intrigued you, he intrigued Mike Royko, and I think he intrigues anybody who studied history. Now, you two young folks, Ann and Kyle. Kyle, you are charged with the dramatic challenge of playing Anton Cermak. Had you ever heard of Anton Cermak before you got in touch with this Michael Greitzer?
Well, I mean, the street named after him, and I think
yes.
And I think I'd heard of Mayor Cermak, but I didn't really know anything about him.
Yeah.
It was just, oh yeah, he was an old mayor. That's the extent of it.
How about you, man? Any previous knowledge of him?
Well, I definitely knew that he was mayor, and I knew it was about the 30s, but I'm pretty much in the same boat as Kyle that, you know, other than being a Chicago mayor, that was really about all I knew.
Michael, how did you find these two attractive young people?
you know, when you decide to endeavor upon a first production of a musical theater, you need
people who can
you
sing.
You need logistical people.
That's,
you need somebody.
That's one of the things.
We have a wonderful person named Julie Price, who is our director, and we did the reading in the fall of 2014, of which Anne was part of. And Aunt Julie was like, you know, let's not workshop it, let's just do it. And I'm like, oh, gosh, okay, let's go. And then what happens is then these networks start to grow. And I'm learning. I learn every single day, sometimes every hour, working with this troupe of actors. But Julie was the one that, you know, like I said, logistically started to put the structure together. And these are people that she's worked with before and she's trusted. And I knew Anne from singing the levy and doing our reading. So we knew that we wanted her right away. And Kyle happened to be somebody that really stood out. You know, you needed to find someone like Tony Cermak. And also Kyle's at the age that he could be a young man. And then when he's a little bit older, maybe put the glasses on, a little gray hair.
How old are you, Kyle?
29. Okay. I probably look like I'm 19, but yeah.
you do. No, you do. What are your backgrounds, you two? Anne, Arza, why don't you go first?
Well, my background in theater started actually when I was like 3, listening to my mother and father do theatrical works as I was growing up and singing every word that my mother sang.
Were they in the theater?
No, they did.
They just sang around the house.
Theater in a real small town called Mount Morris, about 2 hours west of Chicago.
Sure, no.
I actually did my first show when I was 8. It was Gracie Shin in Music Man, and I was completely typecast as the brat. So I've dabbled in things, through high school, and then after college, I took quite a time period off and just started doing stuff in the Chicago area about 8 years ago.
Nice. What about you, young man?
I actually got involved in it because of my mother as well. I think she grew up doing
it. That's great. You stay the proverbial stage mothers, right?
No,
she's not too
bad.
They
don't seem to have pushed you into it at all.
No, but she did it into early adulthood, and then when I showed some interest in it, she was excited and pushed me to try things. I mean, my parents were always great about supporting me in anything I did, but
where
did
you grow
up? High school and college. River Grove, near West Suburbs.
You're local.
Yep.
Except the librettist and writer of the play. We got to take a little break, but I'm keeping these nice people here all for this entire hour. You can go to pushcarttony.com after the show is over at 11. And it's a lovely website. It'll give you a lot, but you're also going to get a lot from hearing these three talk. It's Bobby Lewis. You'll hear a lot more from him playing and talking at 10 o'clock. But now we're talking about Anton Cermak, one of the most fascinating, if relatively unsung, characters in the history of this town, filled with characters. Michael Greitzer is the author of the book and the librettist for Pushcart Tony, which stars actors Kyle Downs playing Anton Cermak through various points in his life, and Ann Arza, who plays many roles, including Cermak's secretary and perhaps an unsavory Everly sister-like woman who has a business in Chicago. Michael, this weekend is the premiere, the world premiere of this musical, with a show Friday, two shows Saturday, and one Sunday at the Vidim Theater at 1012 North Noble. What got you to this point? And when did you decide, we're ready to go, man, we're ready to show this to the public?
Well, it's an interesting story because, and like I said, in spring of 2012, started to write it, started to endeavor upon the research.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of difficult. Spent a lot of time in the reference section of the Chicago Public library system. I read your father's book. I read Gottlieb's book. I read everything I could get my hands on, a lot of notebooks full of all this. The interesting thing is I had to find a composer. I'm a guitar player. I needed a pianist. That's the medium for theater. And there was a very talented young man named A.J. Brayman, who was our composer, who was kind of trolling Craigslist. And he's from Buffalo, New York. And he got in contact with me. And, you know, you get in contact with these guys all the time. You send them a couple of lyrics.
Sure.
And then you never hear from again. But I sent him the lyrics to a song we wrote called The Levy, which is a song that Miss Arza sings. And he sent me back the composition. and it was very, it was brilliant. And we had a song. Wow. So all of a sudden we had a song, and AJ and I, the interesting thing about it is AJ was a sideman and then a musical manager on a Princess cruise ship. So we've really never been able to rehearse these songs.
How interesting. You're just doing this all
the score
via
was
computers.
Just file to file to file. And it's so you can imagine why it's like 2012 and it's 2016.
Yeah.
So it took a long time. It was a pretty painstaking process. But, you know, it started to work. AJ would come in to Chicago periodically. We would 15 songs, 16 songs, 20 songs. Well, then it was time, you know, I felt good about it. And I through the Chicago Artist Resource, I met Julie Price, our director. She was very intrigued by Mayor Cermak and the story. You know, how can you not be? His story is so extraordinary.
I agree. We're going to talk a little bit more about his
and
life. And
we did a reading at the Cutting Hall Theater in Palatine, Illinois. Anne was part of it, and a lot of the actors in our play were part of it. And it was wonderful, but it was a reading, you know, and then we were script revision.
Was there a reading and singing as well?
Well, they kind of played the demo. Like I said, I didn't even know what to expect, but they read through it. And then they played the demo, which is me singing to AJ's compositions, and then they sang over it. And Anne really took the levy. As a matter of fact, afterward, I made her sing it again and record it so I could put it on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
It was exciting then, and it was, you know, all these revisions, and these theater people, they're always involved in other things. So Julie,
we had to wait for
Julie to feel like we were getting closer and closer. And
How do you two feel knowing that this is, I know you've workshopped this, I know you just got out of rehearsal today, but how do you feel 5 days before the opening?
You want to go first?
5 days before any opening is the beginning of Tech Week.
Yeah.
This is always a very exciting time for any show because all of the pieces start to come together. You've done the scenes, you've learned the songs, but you add in the props. You add in the costumes. You start adding in sound effects. You're off book. You're not reading from a book as you're learning things. This is actually it's a really nerve-wracking time you've got 5 days to make sure it's where you want it to be for your audience. But it's also a very exciting time because it all starts to fall together.
How many parts are you playing?
Oh, goodness. I think seven.
Seven parts. Oh, well, just keeping those straight would be something. How big is the cast, Michael?
I believe there's 20 actors.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got to be a big cast.
Two acts?
Three acts, two short intermissions. We had a wonderful part of our ensemble named Madeline Franklin who said, you shouldn't fool around with just one long intermission, do two, and we all agreed. And we're going to have some fun going on in those short intermissions. Chicago, you'll like it. There'll be Chicago trivia. We're going to get people involved. There's a little Schoolhouse Rock in all of this.
Yeah. Sounds like a combination of like Schoolhouse Rock and 1776.
Yeah.
And who knows what else.
Yes.
So, Kyle, what's it like for you? I mean, there is a considerable burden to anyone who is starring in a show about a specific person. You're not going to imitate. There's no YouTube videos of Anton Cermak fooling around. You know, he died in 33, if memory serves. How did you research? Is it just the words on the page that gives it life?
I mean, a lot of it, I guess, is the words on the page. When he's younger, it's obviously easier for me to relate. I mean, we're both industrious young men from the suburbs.
Yes,
but,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, typecasting.
Yeah.
But then when he's the boss of the city.
I tried to do a lot of research early on, and then I guess I relied on Mike a lot, and I talked to him a lot early on. He had done so much research that I was able to kind of build the character off the impressions that he had as well as my impressions from the little bit of research that I was able to do.
What do you think of the guy if there's even a little bit of research? I mean, he's got to seem to you like a kind of towering figure who, to my mind, has never been brought to life on stage before. And this is...
Yeah, I think the only reference, stage or screen, is didn't Kelsey Grammer do a boss thing where he did a couple of Anton Cermak stuff?
He did, and it was brilliant. If you got a chance to see Boss.
Oh, the TV show? I thought the TV show.
He made references directly to Cermak about leading the people of Chicago and the ethnic classes, and I was like, I wanted to find the author and thank him.
Yeah.
And Kelsey Grammer. I mean, it doesn't get any.
Yeah, I thought
that
show was great. I thought. I think. I wish that show were still.
It was great.
Still
it was,
on.
Yes.
And for you playing seven different characters, how do you alter your theatrical persona to pull that off?
Who says I need to alter my persona? Maybe I have that many. No, it's well, they're definitely very different. Let's just say that I have my day job as Mr. Cermak's secretary, and then I have my night job.
Yeah,
and they are entirely different roles. Costumes help, but it's getting it straight in your head.
Sure.
And knowing what comes next, and for me, it's about planning and being prepared, and just knowing what you're going to do, and trying to make the characters different.
Kyle, how do you age in this show? You take Cermak from, I suppose, his arrival in Chicago as a young man up until. Cermak got, if you people are Chicago history, you don't even have to be a buff to know what happened to Anton Cermak and why he died. And what's your theory, Michael Kreitzer, about that death? Because some feel that, what's his name, Zarin Khanna, was not trying to kill Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah,
actually trying to kill Cermak. What's your theory on that?
Well, first of all, I invite speculation upon it because I think if anything's talking about Mayor Cermak is good because this once again this extraordinary character.
Oh.
The speculation from the Chicago side that's pretty esoteric is that Frank Nitti had him rubbed out we can argue about it, but the data's really not there. Frank Nitti's not going to get a 5'1" Sicilian deranged man with a $20 gat to go to Bayfront Park in Miami and shoot him next to the president-elect. He's going to wait till he comes out of City Hall and shoot him in the back of his car. So, yeah, there's going to be that, and I've had those arguments before, and I invite those arguments.
Yeah, because you should.
It's
controversy.
The Bears are in football are winning, this town's about football. You know, like I said, we get that spirit going. So any spirit that's going to, you know, involve Tony Cermak, it's nice for people to talk about him because he is a very important.
Are there any Cermak relatives?
Yes.
Around?
There are several.
And you have talked to them?
You know what? We have a Facebook page, Pushcart Tony Cermak, and it's been quite a powerful vessel. Kajon Cermak, his grandniece, is a weathercaster in Los Angeles. We have talked to, I have corresponded with his great-granddaughter, his great-grandfather. You know, Anton Cermak, Kerner, Prague Days. We went out, H.A. and I, the composer, we went out to Riverside and Cicero and Berwyn and to involve some of the Czechs.
Sure.
And we went to the Czech Plaza and the Riverside restaurant. They're very excited about it. Because this is
I'll bet because he's getting recognition that has long been buried.
Buried.
And there's no Big Bill Thompson was a flashy, flamboyant character, whereas Tony Cermak was a political genius.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it too far?
Well, the word executive gets a bad connotation these days, but through the book, he was a master executive. What does that mean? It means he's executing. Patronage has always been part of the political game, but he vetted those patrons that says, if you're not sending me your best guy, he's not going to keep the job. That doesn't happen anymore. That's why his House of All Peoples, which became the Chicago Machine, which is what Royko talked about, is they didn't vet anymore. They just said, oh, you're going to bring 10,000 votes. I'm going to give you guys streets and sanitation. You know how that goes.
Oh, it's fascinating. Once again, these three nice people, Michael Kreitzer, who's a librettist and the book author of the book. What's the composer's name?
A.J. Brayman.
A.J. Brayman. They met through the wonders of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Actor Kyle Downs is playing Anton Cermak. I don't want to ruin anything for people before we take another break, but does this play go all the way up until that car ride with Roosevelt?
It does.
Okay. okay. And Arza plays a secretary, a madam, and five other different parts.
Something
like that. So please stay tuned. We're going to continue on. You learn some more about Anton Cermak and more about this show and where this show might be headed. Bobby Lewis will be in here at 10 o'clock, but I'm delighted to have Michael Greitzer and actors Kyle Downs and Ann Arza in here. They are among the principals behind Pushcart Tony, the world premiere of which, it's a musical based on the life and times of Anton Cermak, who's mayor of Chicago and the first certifiable political boss. I mean, he set in motion what became the Chicago Machine. And there have been musicals about, and they made a musical of Boss, Mike Rico's biography of Mayor Richard J. Daley some years ago at like Candlelight Playhouse or something, and it was mediocre. You can go to pushcarttony.com to get all the information. So it's opening. The world premiere is but four shows, Friday, two on Saturday, and one on Sunday at the Vidim Theater at 1012 North Noble. Kyle Downs plays Tony Cermak, and Arza plays seven roles. You play one other person, Kyle, in this show?
Oh, just an ensemble role before Cermak's even brought on, when he's still a baby.
It is 30-some songs, a la Hamilton. So what I am, just meeting the three of you, I am relatively confident that this is going to be four shows to cherish and four shows to see and four shows to listen to. What are your ambitions for this? I'm going to start with the actors. I'm sure your ambitions, seriously, your ambitions are to put on four good shows and do the work proud. You obviously like the work and admire the work. Do you have ambitions for this show beyond that as actors?
I mean, I think any time as an actor, you just want to do justice to the writer and the composer and the staff that spent so much time, you know, the choreographer, the director, everything that spent so much time putting you in the position to be successful. And, you know, beyond that, I know Mike would like to see it go further and be put on additionally. And, it'll depend. I don't know whether I'll get to be a part of that or not, but I'd certainly be interested in doing so if we're successful and if we're able to do that, which I have every reason to think we will be.
And you have to share those feelings, don't you?
I do. For me, as an actor, you put it on stage for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to put forward the best that you can for every performance. I know my parents are going to be there for at least one of them. They've been to every show I've ever done. So, you know, this is... it's important that every show is like my parents are sitting in the audience.
That's a great attitude. That's a really, really great attitude.
And beyond that, we
life's
both,
a crapshoot.
Yeah. Well, and we both have day jobs. So, yeah. You know, if it works,
what do you guys
great.
Do for day jobs?
I work in manufacturing technology.
I'm a chemical engineer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, intellectual actors here. Michael, the stakes for you have to be considerably higher, as are probably the ambitions for this show. I don't know, given only a four-show run, whether it will get reviewed. I mean, you know, that's a crapshoot, too, with all the theater in town. What are your expectations for this four-show run? And then, what are your what do you expect to learn?
That's the perfect question. What do you expect to learn? Like I said, I seem like I'm learning every day, if not every hour, with this project. Ambitions, I'm really glad you asked that, because, you know, a successful play, and yeah, you can't get reviewed on a one weekend thing.
You
and
may
then,
by somebody. You yeah, may, you, literally, you may, but it's unlikely.
This play... So we have the advantage and the privilege to work with Tesseract Theater Ensemble out of Palatine.
Mm-hmm.
They've done very good work, and we're a non-501c3 nonprofit. So we have – I couldn't be more thankful that they've been there for us and our director, Julie Price. Beyond that, we've got work to do. It's just rather than putting the cart before the horse, especially for me, is I'm working on some of the graphics. I'm still doing some of the advertising. I think to get anxious about what would happen afterward, I think we're all going to be looking forward to taking a week off. But after that, the most important thing, Rick, is this is a Chicago play. And
no question.
I think that everything is, when your play gets successful, it has to, you know, matriculate towards New York. Why? Why can't Chicago get behind this hero and make it a success in Chicago? And that's what I really want. That's my ambition.
Did you at any point think to yourself, okay, we're just gonna go crazy. I'm going to book a space for 4 weeks.
That costs a lot of money.
Yes. No, it's a costly thing.
This play has been produced by its, and I mean this, by its authors, its actors, and its associates. Yeah. Our Kickstarter helped out. Everybody, you know, you're kind of working for free. I've, you know, put money in. All these people have been working, you know, cliche, labor of love, loving every minute of it. It's an endeavor. But the truth of it is, my sister is a, you know, was a, went to New York and was an actress. And she said, you know, Michael, it makes money when it makes money. And that's the way you have to think. You're going to do the best project and get with the most talented people and just go out there and, you know.
Are you expecting any industry people to come see this?
That's what this week is all about. Yeah. We are very, very excited to be here, Rick. I can't tell you how excited I was when you said, would you like to come on the show?
You're excited to be on the show?
Without any question.
That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I asked these two if they wanted to come on the WGN radio after hours with Rick Hogan.
They're like, we've never been on the radio before. Why would we want to do something stupid like that?
Yeah. I remember saying
now you guys are like pros. You would love the mayor to come, wouldn't you?
Well, like I said, we have an administrative assistant. Her name is Colleen, and we've reserved 4 seats for the mayor and his family. This is a family project.
Show.
This is, you know, it's a show. There's no vulgarity in it. It's, like I said, little Schoolhouse Rock, little 1776, but it's a lot of Chicago. If you do not want to be entertained and educated about the history of Chicago, I suggest you don't come. But we know that the mayor loves. He works at the same desk as Anton Cermak.
I know, isn't that? That's a very interesting thing.
He's been a big fan. I know he's a big fan of theater. How do you talk to the mayor? Maybe we're talking to him now.
Come
see our show.
No.
You know, I think you'll really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, it'd be good for him and get him to just kind of a considerable number of headaches. Yeah. No, but you're right. He does. He's a big supporter of Chicago theater, and he does work at the original desk of Anton Cermak. So why wouldn't he come? We got a couple minutes before another break, but start giving me an idea of the narrative of this thing. You know, obviously, I know the Chicago in which Cermak lived, but others don't. You have the Columbian Exposition referenced in here.
This is the life lens of a 59-year-old man. He comes to Castle Garden, which is the precursor for Ellis Island, when he celebrates his first birthday. So he's a baby. All the immigrants come to Ellis Island. We do a couple of songs. And he comes to Chicago at 15. He's 18. He's hauling refuse out of the Columbian Exposition. He sees the turn of the century, the levee, of course. He's a ward healer. He's a precinct captain. We have a song called Get Out the Vote. Mm. You know, his was not the featured lot as a bohemian at 15 years old. He had to outwork everyone, which he did. Then we move very quickly into him becoming the president and the secretary for the United Societies of Personal Liberty.
Describe what that is.
Well, that's what really made Cermak. It was Springfield General Assembly wanted to legislate charter laws on Chicago, which would govern new municipalities in the ward system from Springfield. And Chicago wanted to maintain home rule, which was meaning why are you doing this?
Yeah.
But they were looking at it as this multi-ethnic and kind of rambunctious populace.
Sure.
And Cermak, I think 300 to 500 ethnic groups came together, and they called themselves the United Societies, and they made Cermak the secretary. And that gave him some cachet, because now you've got about 100,000 votes behind you,
uh-huh.
And home rule prevailed. The charter laws were shouted down. And then very quickly you're moving into temperance and prohibition. Through the Roaring Twenties, which we got a wonderfully
gangsterdom.
We have a wonderfully talented Al Capone named Derek Dillon, who you're going to absolutely love. We've got, you know, when you talk about the narrative, this all takes place where, like I said, there's a young man named Lully, and he's a very talented kid, and he doesn't want to do his history assignment, and we have a teacher that says you will do your history assignment because we're going to go back in time and we're going to go through this.
Very interesting. So, yeah, very clever device. Very clever device. We've got to take one more break, and then we'll come back and finish off with these nice people, two young actors, Kyle Downs and Ann Arza, and a pretty young theatrical entrepreneur, too, a showman. Let's call you a showman, Michael Greitzer. We'll be right back. That's called jazz, and one of the legendary jazz performers in the history of Chicago, Bobby Lewis, will be in here at 10 o'clock. I have about 10 minutes with these nice people. Michael Greitzer, who is the theatrical impresario behind Pushcart Tony, a new play that's having its world premiere Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Vidim Theater, 1012 North Noble Street. Go to pushcarttony.com. It's a lovely website. You can even hear a little music from the show, of which there's some 30-some songs in three acts that take the measure of the life and, very important to realize, the life and times of Anton Cermak, the mayor of the city of Chicago, who was assassinated riding around with President-elect Franklin Roosevelt. One of the great ignored, unfairly ignored characters in the history of Chicago, because he is the man that created, from virtually out of whole cloth, the Democratic machine that has run this town for some time. Michael would like Rahm Emanuel to come see the show with his family. He's saving four seats for each of the performances. Actor Kyle Downs plays Cermak, and Ann Arza plays many roles. You guys don't look at all. I know you're in a radio studio, not at the theater, and it's not Friday night, 10 minutes before a show, but you guys don't look at all nervous to me. Am I crazy, or?
I mean, we've been working on this for a couple months now, yeah. So I guess it's something we're comfortable talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I've been interested in this since we did the reading in 2012, so, yeah. Which was one of the reasons I auditioned for the role in this production that we're doing now. So
both of us have done a lot of shows before too, so
yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of the creative team behind this thing? I know he's one part of the creative team is sitting right here, but I gotta think that Michael is kind of, his passion is certainly palpable. It's also got to be kind of infectious. Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been really fun to work with. And one of the things about community theater, and especially doing an original work, is if you're community theater, even if you're doing the most popular musical in history, you're never going to do the Broadway production. You don't have those people. So you're able to make it your own, and you bring in your own talents, and you utilize those talents that you have from the group that you've sourced locally, and you put on the best show that you can put on. And doing it the first time, we've really had the opportunity to showcase our strengths and make tweaks and modifications, and I've had a lot of fun doing it.
Right, because you're, in essence, the two of you, you and mm-hmm. Ann, are creating the roles.
Absolutely.
You're putting your stamp on, in your case, one person, in your case, seven
people. Yeah,
I have
a few more than that.
Which is the biggest part? Is it the secretary or the...
I think vocally, probably Mirabelle, mm-hmm. who is a... lady of the evening. She's a madam that sings the levee. But as far as the larger part, it probably is Tony Cermak's secretary.
Interesting. Yeah. I just think it sounds fascinating. Michael, is your composer going to be there, or is he off on some cruise ship again?
No.
Is he playing?
Well, that's an interesting question. A.J. Brayman is hopefully at home probably listening to this on radio. But
good.
He is probably working, because we're going to be running with some tracks. He's also going to be playing live. And I imagine right now he's hitting those keys because he's working on the overture. He's working on all those things that have to be done. And when I say that, you know, he's staying with me, we wake up, drink some coffee, and I go into my little office, and he goes to his keyboard. And he's a really – whether or not we've been able to be in the same room and rehearse – I always tell him, I said, maybe we could really do a really good musical if you stuck around Chicago, you know. But
one of the things about theater is people have to make a living. You two have these sort of rarefied jobs. What's your straight job, as they say?
My straight job, and one of the reasons that this, you know, you have to rent the Vidim Theater, is where I met you, Mr. Kogan. I am a waiter at the Bistro Zinc on State Street.
No, it
will. It is a wonderful restaurant.
It is.
It is a wonderful family that I'm involved in. I love them. You know, it's been a great experience for me. And as an artist, it's been the perfect job. Everyone respects one another. I'm able to go, and it's lucrative enough that I can go. And I tell them that all the time, but it's without things like that, you don't have the time or the money to do
things. Yeah.
Because it takes a lot of time to write a musical and then communicate with AJ and all that stuff. And I consider it a great fortune to be that lucky.
Well, I can't base it on just the three of you because it's such a large group. But if they're anything like you three, then you've got a really good creative, I think, nurturing kind of gang here, and that's what it takes to make theater, man. Don't you all agree with that? I mean, theater is a tough thing. You do it as we were talking before about your ambitions. You do it because you love it. You don't do it because you say, well, this will turn into the new Hamilton, and won't give Rick Hogan tickets.
You do it because you love it, and that cast that you were just talking about, the rest of the ensemble, I would suspect that a lot of them are sitting here listening to this show, and this is an ensemble show, and without every person, even the smallest part of just walking across the stage at some point, the show does not come together without all of those pieces. So for those people that are loading costumes and getting things ready to go into the theater tonight, you know, they're supporting the show too.
Yeah, we were talking in the break that we had to throw a shout out to them.
Yep.
So,
sure, by all means. I mean, I brought it up. I mean, I just think it is a creative collaboration that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's cliche, but acting is reacting. So unless you're working as a team on stage, you're never going to be able to put on the best show. And I think we all have tried to help each other out as best we can and help each other mold into the best.
You guys have solo songs in the show?
Yeah.
How many?
I have a lot.
That's because you're Tony Cermak, for God's sake. You're Tony Cermak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have one.
Showstopper?
Oh, it's a good one. You're gonna love it.
You'll just have to come here.
You're gonna love it.
In person.
Yeah, I hope I can get up there. This weekend is at Printer's Row Lit Fest that I'm always involved in, the Tribune's Printer's Row Lit Fest. But I do want to get up there. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed listening to these three very nice and creative people. Michael Greitzer is the librettist and the author of the book. Who's the – tell me his name again.
The composer's name is A.J. Brayman.
I hope you're listening, A.J., and good luck. Break a leg. Kyle Downs is playing Anton Cermak through all of his many – not that many years on this planet, ended in 1933 – and Ann Arza plays not only his secretary, but a woman of ill repute, let me put it that way, which is always a great part for anybody.
Oh, yeah.
You three, good luck. I know that's not what you say in the theater and you say break a leg, but you guys deserve it. The Vidim Theater, one show Friday, two shows Saturday, and one Sunday. Vidim Theater's at 1012 North Noble. It's a nice space. You can go to the vidimtheater.org, but better yet, go to pushcarttony.com. It's a lovely website. Hear some music. Look at the faces of these people. Look at the faces. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back.